tired of trying to find love? Or maybe you're just trying to keep love alive in a relationship? Could it be that you're missing the key ingredient in your life? Could it be that love is actually more available than you think? Today, we'll discover the secret of finding, keeping, and giving love away like never before. Stay with me.
Welcome to this Thursday edition of Living on the Edge with Chip Ingram. Living on the Edge features the Bible teaching of Chip Ingram on this daily discipleship program. I'm Dave Druey. Today, Chip continues his series, Spiritual Simplicity, Doing Less, Loving More, by sharing what actually fuels our love life. And the answer may not be what you expect. Now let's get going and join Chip for his talk, What the World Needs Now is Love, Sweet Love.
Do you realize that you were created? That in your soul, in your heart, in your mind, even in your physical body, you were designed and created by God to be loved. I was trying to think of how to get our arms around it. Little iPad. I click it on and it has a lot of great stuff on it, but one of the things I notice is when I click it on, you can't see it, but there's a little thing that says, searching for a connection. And no matter where I go, this little thing goes round and round and round. And it's interesting if you get on a plane, because if you go up at over 10,000 feet, you click on it, and it's searching for a 3G connection and can't get it. And what it does, it just keeps going round and round. I've learned how to actually eliminate almost the entire battery on a 3-hour flight. Because it doesn't do anything, because there's something inside this little machine that is a receiver. And it's constantly looking for a transmission to connect with so it can download what's up there onto here. And I want to tell you, you have a receiver built into your heart and built into your soul, built into your thinking, actually built into the fibers of your physical body. And you are, from the moment you come out of the womb and you make eye contact with your mother, there is something inside of you reaching up and reaching out to get connected. And what you need and what you were made for was to be loved, to be affirmed, to be cared for, to be held, to be valued, not for what you do, not for what you accomplish, not for how you look, but for just who you are. And that journey begins with the first breath, and it'll end at your last breath. And that demand and that drive for love never ends. But if you don't get it right, and if you end up spiritually and emotionally like above 10,000 feet, a lot of people spend their whole life just looking for love. And there's only one place to find it where you'll be loved in that way, and that's what we're going to talk about, because that simplifies life. There's a song that got very popular. It's What the World Needs Now is Love, Sweet Love. And Annie and I were taking a quick little road trip recently, and we had to make it from one city to another, and it was hard to stay awake. And so the little rent car had XM. And so she said, well, why don't we see what's on? And, you know, you got like a zillion stations. So like every 20 seconds, we changed to a new station. And, you know, if it was a little song we knew, then we'd sing along. But, I mean, we went through like 50 stations in 2.5 hours just to stay awake. And 49 of the stations had songs that were about love. Finding it, losing it, getting it, wanting it, finding it, getting it, losing it, wanting it. Love, love. I mean, we heard country love. We heard hip-hop love. We heard alternative love. We heard easy listening love. We heard love, love, love. Tell you what the world wants is love. Now, if you will open your notes, I want you to read along very carefully with me. Because if we're designed and made for love and we don't get it deeply, unconditionally, and authentically, some really bad stuff happens. And that bad stuff is why a lot of our lives are very complicated. On the front of your notes, it says, when we are not deeply and personally loved in ways that make sense to us, we will settle for any number of pseudo-love substitutes. Pseudo meaning false. Substitutes, the idea is, I want loved, you want loved, I've got that little thing going inside of me going click, 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 looking, looking, looking. And if you don't get it deeply, authentically, unconditionally, in a way that makes sense to you, you'll settle for substitutes like affirmation we receive from success. It feels a lot like love. You're good at that. We appreciate that. Wow, you scored a lot of points. You made a lot of money. You're good. You're smart. Affirmation. It's a cheap substitute for love. Doesn't mean that we don't need affirmed, but it's not love. Or things like adulation that you receive from fame. Everyone wants their 15 minutes of fame because you were on TV. You're a celebrity. You're important. You matter. We've seen your face somewhere. And there's this adulation. But it's not love. It's people falling in love with an image. Or like the temporary intimacy we experience from illicit sex. When loneliness and pain and struggle and the connections don't make it, some people log on to the internet. Some people have affairs. Some people do all manner of things trying to fill the hole. And there's this temporary sense of connectedness, this temporary sense that I'm loved and this feels good, followed by lots of really bad stuff through illicit sex of all kinds. Or sometimes we look for love in the attention that we receive from our appearance and our possessions. I mean, think of the energy that goes in the multi-billion dollar makeup business. The multi-billion dollar fitness business. You know, what you possess, how you appear, you get attention and it feels like love. But what the attention is focused on is not who you really are. It just happens to be on kind of what you look like today, or what you're driving, or what you wear. Or the temporary things like esteem that comes from position. Oh, you're a somebody now. You got a corner office. You're a somebody. You know, you're the star on the team. You're a somebody. You made the cheerleading squad. You're a somebody because you have this position. Or finally, the security that we perceive from wealth. And so we get up early and we go late and we move and we get complex, driven, complex lives because we feel like if we get more money, we'll be secure. And if we're secure, security feels a lot like love. Look at the bottom of the page. This is critical. This is why our lives get complex. Our quest to be loved deeply and personally create fast-paced, overextended, complex lives driven to obtain success, fame, sex, looks, position, power, and wealth in the desperate hope that someday, some way, we'll be loved. But notice the last little line. Just for who we are. Everything in this list, when you get done, even if you receive it, people aren't loving you for who you are. They're loving you for the position that you have, or the appearance that you have, or the possessions that you have. And yet that little search engine inside of you that wants to connect, you and I and every single person on this planet of all backgrounds, of all races, of all cultures, want and need to be loved. So if love is what the world needs, three questions emerge. Where do you find it? How do you get it? And how do you give it away? Where do you find it? How do you get it? And how do you give it away? Let's start with number one. Where do you find it? The source of love that's unconditional, that's focused on who you are, not what you accomplish, is God. Listen to 1 John. It says, "Dear friends, let us love one another." Why? For love comes from God. Everyone who loves God is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not know God, whoever does not love does not know God. Why? Because God is love. John says the source of the love that you need in your soul, the only thing that'll ever fill you up, is the love of God. And he says when you know him, when you are loved by him, one of the evidences will be that you will naturally overflow in love relationships to others. And the most attractive people in the world, the people that I want to be around and you want to be around are what? Loving people. No one wants to be around selfish jerks. We all want to be loving people, but it's just hard. And it raises the question, what would it look like to be loved by God? I mean, that's so ethereal. God loves you. I heard that all my life. I didn't have a clue of what it meant. What would it look like if you could understand and feel and see and know that you are the object of God's affection? I put it in your notes. Zephaniah 3:17 is, to me, one of the greatest pictures of getting a grasp of God's love for us. It says, "The Lord your God is with you. Part of being loved is someone that won't abandon you. It's someone that hangs with you. And not only is he with you, he is mighty to save. And you might write in your notes above that word save, write the word deliver. I mean, of course we know that he saves, he forgives our sins, but especially in the Old Testament, when you see the word save, it has the idea of deliverance. When someone loves you and you're in a jam, they show up and they help you get out of the jam. I mean, that's who I call when I'm in a jam. To be loved by God, the Lord your God, it's his covenant name, it's his personal name, Yahweh, is with you. He is mighty to save. And then look at the next line. He will take great delight in you. Underline the word in you. It doesn't say he'll take great delight in how you look. He'll take great delight in your position. He'll take great delight in what you can accomplish. He'll take great delight in your success. He'll take great delight in you. The one that created the galaxies and billions of stars, after he created everything, he created man. And then he said the pinnacle, the most important, the apex of all of his creation is you. Not if you do something, not because you've accomplished something, but you as you are, created by God, made in his image, he takes delight in you. He'd like to spend time with you. He'd like to bless you. He'd like to talk with you. He'd like to develop you. That's what love does. It always brings out the best in others. So he's with you. He delivers you. He takes great delight in you. Notice, he will quiet you with his love. If there's one thing I hear from people all the time, Christian or non-Christian, in a high-stress, complicated world, is I wish I had some peace. I wish I just had some peace in this marriage. I wish I had some peace in my heart. You know when you get peace? When you can unload all the issues and all the concerns and all the cares, and when you have that sort of sense that no matter what's going on out there, it's okay. For many of us, that happens in a human relationship. There's times I get completely overwhelmed and I write down all these different things and, you know, I'm really struggling, but it's over a cup of coffee sitting with Teresa, usually, and saying, honey, I know I'm not supposed to be anxious and I know I'm not supposed to be this, but I'm feeling all this. And you know what? I've laid all this out in my journal with God, but I need to sit down and we'll kind of talk it through. And just, you know what? I could be a garbage collector tomorrow and Teresa'd love me the same way she does today. And there's a quieting of that relationship. And you know what? That's what God wants to do. He wants to quiet your heart with his love. He wants to tell you, you know what? Yeah, the economy's kind of rough right now, and the marriage has some struggles right now, and you've been single a little bit longer than you like right now, and you know, there's some physical ailments that you wish would get better right now, but you know something? I've like got it all taken care of. Like, you're made to live forever. Would you relax, will you? I mean, if God is for you, who can be against you? If he's got unlimited resources and you're the object of his affection, you know, you can all... Most of our anxiety is always focused on what might happen someday, some way. And he says, I got that someday covered. And then finally, notice, I love this last line. He says, he will rejoice over you with singing. This is a picture, literally, of God. And for some of us men, this is sort of a hard picture because it's a picture of God holding you like you're a little helpless baby. And like you've ever seen a mom, I've watched Teresa do this when our kids were small. And now when she puts our grandkids to bed, I can hear in the other room and she'll hold the little ones and she'll sing over them. And it's just sort of this, I just want to quiet you down. I rejoice over you. God's presence, God's power, all of God's pride. You are his delight. He just wants you to know, that's how I feel about you. Can you imagine what would happen and how free your life could be and how you could simplify and begin to push some of the stuff on the front page of these notes to the side if you honestly, in your heart of hearts, believed that's how God actually feels about you at this moment. And are you ready? Nothing you can do can ever change that. Now you can have windows of blessing through obedience, but even when he disciplines us, it's because he loves you. That's why Paul would pray to the Ephesian church. He would pray, since God already loves you, I pray that you might be strengthened in your inner man so that you might comprehend the height and depth and length and breadth and to know the love of God that surpasses knowledge or comprehension. That's a great thing to pray for one another and for your kids. Well, it raises a question, okay, can we all agree at this point? That's true. God really loves me and he loves me like that. Well, how do you make the connection? You know, the fact that he loves you and how do you get it operational in your heart, in your life, in your experience? Notice what the scripture says. It says God deposits his love in his followers' hearts through his Spirit. Same passage, 1 John, he goes on. He says, we know that we live in him and he in us because he's given us his Spirit. Put a circle around live in him and then another circle, live in us, and you might put little arrows and connect them. We know, he says it's absolute truth that we live in him, connection, and he in us, connection, because he's given us or he's deposited us in us his Spirit. And then he explains how that works. He says, and we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges, literally the word is confess, agrees with, that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him, and he in God. He says there is a condition to experience and receive God's love. Christ died on the cross, fully God and fully man, to pay for your sin, my sin, the sins of all people of all time. He's our sin substitute. He says if you confess and acknowledge, it's not your good works, it's not your religiosity, Christ died in your place as your substitute, and if you turn from sin, receive his forgiveness. He says the Spirit of God comes into your mortal body and you live in him and he lives in you and he takes up residence inside of you. And he will then manifest the power and the presence of the living God and now you have that connection. On my little iPad, it goes like this. Then it goes and it connects. And then a bunch of stuff downloads. And he wants to download adoption and forgiveness, and place you in his family, and grace, and seal you with the Spirit, and give you spiritual gifts, and create a new path, and the same power that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you the moment you do that. Now he goes on to say that when we're filled or controlled by the Holy Spirit, the outcome or the overflow is love. So the Spirit lives inside of you. The Spirit, God, the second person of the Trinity, is the means by which God's love gets from out there in here. And then look what it says in Galatians 5, 22 and 23. The fruit, singular. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. It goes on to say self-control. So that love that I just described about his presence and his power and you being the object of his affection, all of that is available. But there's only two reasons why you can't experience it. Reason number one would be living like I did my first 18 years outside of Christ. I intellectually was aware of God's love, but I'd never turned from my sin, asked Christ to forgive me and come into my life. If you've never done that, today's a great day to do it. It's called being born from above or being born by the Spirit. The Bible calls it salvation. It's when you experience forgiveness and a Spirit comes into your life and you are justified. You're declared righteous before God because of what Christ did for you. Now, the second reason, you can be a believer and his Spirit lives in you, but what I found is I can have this thing, and I'm not going to mention which carrier that it is, but there's times where I can turn this baby on and I can be working and then all of a sudden cannot send mail, cannot receive mail. It drops. You know, just like you have a drop call, I can't get anything. And maybe it's because there's too many buildings or maybe it's a dead spot, but basically there's interference. There's times where interference from whatever signals come on that little pad and I can't get anything. I've got the pad, I'm connected, I paid my bill, but there's interference. And you can have the Spirit of God living in you, but if he's not in control, if there's interference like sin, like you know exactly what God wants you to do, but you say no. If your priorities are out of whack, if you get so busy and so inundated doing other things and pursuing other, you know, God in his great love doesn't bless there's interference. And so he says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So some of you are here today that you desperately need to experience God's love. And intellectually, you're saying, yeah, I really want that. And you're saying, I know I'm really a Christian. And you're saying, but my life is crazy. And I'm not experiencing that. Well, guess what? Part of how you experience it is he wants to give you grace and he wants to speak to you, but it's been a while since you really talked to him. And he wants you to stop and simplify your life and quit chasing the wind and be quiet before him. And he's going to bring people into your life if you slow down and get connected to him, where you get together and he's going to show up in the physical bodies of other people and love you through their words and their arms and their feet and their kindness. And so all I want to get to you is to know one thing. You were created to be loved. The source of love is God. His means of experiencing that love is depositing his spirit inside of you. And third, his spirit can live inside of you, but you need to surrender to and be in alignment and obedience to that spirit so what he has for you, you can actually receive.
Chip will be right back with some specific application for today's teaching. But if you're just joining us, you're listening to Living on the Edge with Chip Ingram. And Chip's talk today, What the World Needs Now is Love, is from his series, Spiritual Simplicity, Doing Less, Loving More. Right now, you'll find all of the Spiritual Simplicity resources on our website, the CDs, free MP3s, the book, and video small group with study guide. For complete pricing and ordering details, just go to livingontheedge.org. Or if you prefer, just give us a call at 1-888-333-6003. Spiritual Simplicity. Doing less, loving more. Now, here's Chip.
As many of you know, in recent months, I just stepped down as the senior pastor of Venture Christian Church. I've been a senior pastor for 35 years. And it was a very, very big and emotional step. But as I did three major pastors' conferences in the United States last year, I will make my third trip to China in the last 12 months this year. And I had an experience in the Middle East where I saw needs and I saw God work that shook my life. And I remember sitting on the floor of my wife's office in our house, and she looked at me and said, Chip, we can't wait to step out like never before and do what God's called us to do beyond the walls of one local church. We love the church. It's an awesome church. You've been there, you know, 9+ years. And I begin to think about all the things you think about when you have to make a big decision, right? My income's going to change, traveling overseas. It was pretty scary a couple times where I was places. And then I read Genesis 22:14 recently. In fact, I have it on a little card that I memorized many years ago. And it's where Abraham is bringing Isaac and he's going to offer the most precious thing to God. And you know the story where he struggles and yet the knife goes up and the angel calls out. And in verse 14, it says, "And the Lord provided," and it says, "in the mount of the Lord, as it's said to this day, it will be provided." And as I was thinking, I've realized I've preached surrender to people for probably 30+ years. And what I realized was it never ends and that God always provides, but he provides after we surrender. And stepping out and giving 100% of my energy, my focus, my time to the United States, to pastors, to China and the Middle East, just meant I needed to go back up on the mountain and take my Isaac of comfort, my Isaac of security, and my Isaac of my personal fears and lay them there. And God says, and I will provide. And so as you think about this season and especially this match and what God might want you to do, I would encourage you to ponder what it looks like to surrender, to really surrender and say, Lord, I will do whatever you want me to do. And with regard to Living on the Edge, we are asking God for ambassadors and partners that are going to say, I'm all in. If there's ever a time in America, in the world, where we need a group of people to say, I'm all in. I don't know what it looks like, and of course I'm afraid, but I'm going to be courageous and I'm going to step out. And Lord, whatever you show me, I will do. Teresa and I have taken that step here in the last few months, and I simply want to invite you to take it with us. and back it up with your prayer, your financial support, and the way you live your life every single day. Give you a few details about how you can give and how that can be doubled with our match. But today, pray seriously, will you? Go to that mount and surrender. And I think we'll see God do things that we never dreamed.
Well, we're praying for the ministry that continues to happen through Living on the Edge, and we're praying that you'll decide to partner with us financially while we're in our 2018 year-end match. Thanks to a handful of very generous friends of the ministry, every gift we receive during December will be doubled dollar for dollar. To send a gift, just visit us online at livingontheedge.org and click the donate button, or give us a call at 1-888-333-6003. That's 1-888-333-6003. Your generosity is greatly appreciated. Well, just one more thing before we wrap it up. If you're looking for something fun and different to do with your kids, we'd love for you to check out our free booklet and videos called How to Teach Your Kids About God. Now, these are easy lessons, each with a short video that illustrates the point of the lesson. Use them as a great conversation starter and take advantage of the opportunity to engage with your kids about God. For the free booklet and videos, just visit us online at livingontheedge.org. Well, tomorrow on Living on the Edge, Chip will continue his current series, so be sure to make plans to join us then. Until then, this is Dave Drewy saying thanks for listening to this edition of Living on the Edge.